As with any financial analysis, everybody wants to see, have you done this before? And do you have the data to back it up? So the fact that we had 8 years of operating, zero client losses, and specifically zero loan losses on this product to demonstrate to institutions that their capital is secure was extremely important to getting this done.
You're listening to Because of Bitcoin, a podcast that shares the personal stories of how Bitcoin is having a real impact in people's lives, including mine. I'm your host, Mauricio Di Bartolomeo, the co-founder and CSO of Ledit. And without further ado, let's get started with today's story. Nobody wants to sell their Bitcoin. That's why Bitcoin-backed loans are growing astronomically right now. Just last year, Ledit originated over $1.4 billion in Bitcoin-backed loans, a sign that demand is clearly scaling. And with Bitcoin expected to become a multi-trillion dollar asset in the near future, there needs to be a trillion-dollar plus credit market available to fund Bitcoin-backed loans in that near future. Historically, credit markets that have that level of depth, i.e. US public debt markets, had been out of reach for Bitcoin companies because of the incredibly high standards that need to be met in order to participate in those markets. That all changed a few weeks ago when Ledit issued the first ever Bitcoin-backed loan ABS bond. And this offering is historic for several reasons. Number one, it was the first ever Bitcoin product to reach the $3 trillion US ABS market. It was the first time S&P Global, one of the top ratings agencies in the world, has rated a Bitcoin deal. And it was the first time that S&P Global issued an investment grade rating to a Bitcoin product ever. The deal was more than 2 times oversubscribed as the first Bitcoin deal from a first-time issuer. This is a transformative transaction for the Bitcoin credit market structure. And how was Ledit able to achieve something that no other company had been able to achieve? What was it like to pitch the first ever Bitcoin bond to traditional investors? Those are all great questions, and we're going to go through all of that and more with none other than my best friend, co-founder Ledit and CEO, Adam Reeves. So let's get into it. All right. Welcome to a very special and long overdue show with Adam Reeves, co-founder and CEO of Ledit. How are you, Adam?
I'm great. It's great to be here, Mauricio. It's really, really hard to get on your show. So thanks so much for having me on.
This is going to be a really fun one. We have lots and lots to talk about. We're going to be focusing primarily on the bond. But before, because it is your first time on Because of Bitcoin, ironically, we're going to open it up like we open every other show. And we're going to ask if you can share a little bit about what it was like growing up in the Reeds family. And was finance and money a big topic at your dinner table?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we chatted a lot about this as we were starting Ledit, so happy to bring the audience up to speed. But growing up in Canada, and actually my father worked in banking, specifically banking for the agricultural sector, I would say everything was pretty fair and equal, right? My father worked for a Crown-sponsored bank, which was a quasi-government bank that supported the agriculture sector in Canada and was responsible for analyzing and looking at loans in Canada. And my mother was a teacher, so also quasi-government job. And the great thing about growing up in Canada is everything worked, right? And so I think they were paid fair salaries. The cost of living was fair growing up in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. I grew up in an area just outside of Toronto. And I think I always kind of looked at the rules in place. And one, I wasn't really even sure you could influence the rules, right? It was like, okay, you have this like kind of almost like Bible-like pattern of laws and regulations. And I would say there wasn't a ton of dispute growing up because it didn't really affect your day-to-day life. And again, the cost of living was fair and was fortunate that we had everything we needed. We didn't grow up, you know, super, super rich, but, you know, we grew up very, very upper middle class. And I was proud of the work of my parents doing. I saw them working hard, and that resulted in a lot of things for for my family. And so was very grateful of my upbringing. And I think that led to a lot of our conversations. We were starting the business because you had the opposite situation growing up in Venezuela. And that was really the kind of blueprint of how we founded Leaden.
Oh, yeah. I mean, bringing back a lot of memories. And I think we should probably do another show on just the origins of Leaden and how our friendship and sort of our different experiences fed this idea that we needed to build something new, or that there was an opportunity to build something new and take a very international approach to it. And I think that's where Leaden is today. So for those of you who've been living under a rock and listening to this show without the context, Adam and I are the co-founders of Leaden. He is the CEO. I am the CSO. And the Leaden is really a product of a lot of our previous experiences and life experiences. And we kind of came together to solve a problem for Bitcoiners by creating this product. We can talk for hours on Leaden and how we kind of got started. That said, I think for this show, I wanted to focus a little more on the bond that we just issued, or that Leaden just issued, because I think it's a very transformative transaction that people need to have a better understanding of what it means, the implications of the deal. And I think who better, obviously, to break that down than you, who was basically pitching the deal. And we're going to get into that experience, because to basically summarize, Leaden just launched the first ever Bitcoin-backed loan ABS bond, asset-backed securities bond. This is the first of its kind ever. It was a $188 million offering, and this is the first time that S&P has ever rated a Bitcoin product. Not only that, this is also the first time any Bitcoin product has achieved an investment-grade rating by S&P. The deal was more than two times oversubscribed, and it is the first time a Bitcoin company has tapped into the $3 trillion US ABS market. Can you break down what is a Bitcoin-backed loan ABS, and what is the problem that it solves for Leaden?
Of course, happy to. So maybe I'll just first go into how we finance and borrow today to fund our Bitcoin-backed loan portfolio. So we, of course, have a pool of borrowers over here, our clients that are putting up their Bitcoin, borrowing cash. And then on the other side, there's a bunch of institutions that we tap for dollar capital by posting Bitcoin and held in custodial relationships with our institutional partners. But they don't really talk to each other. Leaden sits in between, and we manage those relationships separately. What we did with the bond is we created a new company underneath Leaden, and we vended in a portion of those loans, thousands of those loans, as well as put the Bitcoin collateral associated with those loans up in a custodian. The custodian for that vehicle is Fidelity. And then we have that whole vehicle rated by S&P Global. There's other important structuring aspects. We also had a backup loan servicer in case Leaden, for whatever reason, is no longer around. There's continuity there. And we also had a trust company make sure that everything's done in the right place to effectively sit as supervisor for how everything comes together and is actively managed. So it's a highly structured, highly formal relationship. And the benefit for our individual borrowers is they actually see and know exactly where their loan agreements are sitting, and where the Bitcoin collateral that they've put up for their loan is sitting as well. So it provides a whole bunch of transparency and clarity and formality. Really, what this whole process does is it uses the exact same processes that are in place for how traditional credit card loans, auto loans, even like aircraft or boat loans or mortgages are done, and follows the same formula. Once you follow that formula correctly and you follow steps A to Z on the recipe, you open up a whole new universe of new lenders and institutional participants that can come in and are comfortable in that structure. So for us, it was less about, you know, getting access to better rates that we had. It was more about accessing much deeper capital and much more formal capital than was available in the Bitcoin native space.
Yeah, I think that's a great breakdown. And I mean, to summarize and just to sort of share back or say the answer back to you in a sort of synthesized way, I think the biggest benefit from this is that it allows Leaden to access really deep and scalable funding sources. And it does so in a way that is the most transparent way that you could possibly do this. I mean, our clients get to see where the Bitcoin sits, how much the interest rate is for that facility, and they can basically piece together a lot of data points from the business to assess the robustness or the integrity of the business. And I think that's basically everything we've been trying to do from day one, is to not tell you, but show you what we're doing. And I think this goes a long way in that. Why has no other company been able to do this before Ledin? Why is this the first time we're hearing about a company tapping into the ABS market with a bond product?
Yeah, Ledin's been working on this for over a year, and we're seeing some new entrants that haven't even been in existence for a year. So I think, A, it's the experience that Ledin has in the market. And secondarily, it's the data that Ledin has, because we've been in the market for 8 years plus. As with any financial analysis, everybody wants to see, have you done this before? And do you have the data to back it up? So the fact that we had 8 years of operating, zero client losses, and specifically zero loan losses on this product to demonstrate to institutions that their capital is secure was extremely important to getting this done. It wasn't easy. As much as those watching the show are deep in the Bitcoin space, as we all know, many, many investors are not yet. And again, the objective of this whole exercise was to bring in investors that are not yet in this space, because they didn't have the structure to be able to participate. So you're not just educating them on this new structure, you're also educating them about Bitcoin, a lot of conversations around the liquidity of Bitcoin, a lot of analogies to comparable tech stocks that may trade in different levels of volume. But as we all know, Bitcoin is the most pristine collateral. So once people understand that and get over it, again, it's fitting into the structure that they're used to that allows them to come in and participate. And yeah, we think Ledin is by far the best positioned to get this done. And that was demonstrated by, of course, the end result.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think the 8 year history of, and a perfect track record is the longest that any other company in the space can share or do. And to your point, most of the other companies that are out there haven't even been doing this for as long as we've been working with S&P. So it does put Ledin in a very unique position. I do think there's a few other pieces that I think played a role in helping Ledin accomplish this. I think, can you speak to the sort of the distribution of the book and the size of the book and why that's beneficial versus, like, say, an institutional lender with like a handful of $100 million loans? Like, could they have been doing a facility like this? Or does the fact that Ledin has a very distributed book made up of thousands of small loans and hundreds of nearly $1 billion, how does that play a role in the ability to offer these instruments?
Yeah, that's a great point. So investors are always looking for diversification. And so what they want to see is, how is the portfolio constructed? Do you have any different concentration on any one client? Do you also have other concentration risks? Maybe there's country concentration risks on the type of loans. There's some things, frankly, where I think as Bitcoiners, you say, why does it matter, right? Like, Bitcoin is Bitcoin. So there is some constraints that we had in the bond about, okay, no concentration risk by number of borrowers by country. I think those things will change over time. Those are more kind of traditional metrics that would be important when you're dealing with different rules and regulations, depending on, say, if I'm vending in mortgages in the US versus even Canada, the UK, where there could be changes in the mortgage regulations. But as we all know, Bitcoin is Bitcoin, but there was some geographical strains that there, which was, again, allowed Ledin to get it done, because we are a global company and we do have a very diverse client base across many different countries. The other thing is, as you correctly mentioned, was borrower size or loan size. So they want to see, okay, if there is a downturn, are a certain amount of loans getting liquidated at all one price point, and how does that fit in? So having a very diverse borrower base, all with different LTVs and different shapes and sizes, was very helpful as well.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a really good point on this idea that previously, the ABS market was very siloed geographically, right? Because the credit profile of a US mortgage is very different than the credit profile of a Colombian mortgage. But I think one of the unique things about this offering is that it really, for the first time, allows us to treat clients in different parts of the world as equals, because they're giving us the exact same collateral. This was the thesis I think we love so much about Ledin from day one, which is, why is somebody in Canada getting better rates than somebody in Venezuela if the asset's the same? So I think this model, this ABS model, really allows us to access the best and deepest funding market in the world, and over time distribute that capital fairly without these sort of arbitrary jurisdictional barriers that sometimes set people back. So this deal was rated, this is the first time S&P has ever rated a Bitcoin product. This is the first time S&P has ever rated a Bitcoin product investment grade. Why is this such a big deal?
So S&P is a very prestigious firm within the credit ratings segment, and bringing them up to speed was really important. Ledin always goes the most, I guess, sophisticated route where there's an option, right? We've always done that from the beginning of Ledin. And frankly, like when you're running a business, if something's easy, you're probably not adding value, right? And so like the goal of a business is to simplify complex problems and provide a good solution. And that's really what we did in a nutshell with the bond, is figure out a way to convince a very established institution that this is the way the product should be rated. And then once you have that seal of approval, it allows it to be opened up to investors that require a rating for their product. Interestingly enough, investment grade, the triple B minus, the investment grade rating that the senior tranche of the bond achieved, is the same as the country rating of Morocco. So to tie it back to your last point, you know, countries all have different ratings, but what's really cool about this is a portfolio of loans from borrowers that live in many different countries all has the same rating. So right. That's to your point. Now we're taking Wall Street capital that's participating in this bond and distributing that to borrowers who sit globally, and the rates for them are the same. And that's always been our thesis with the business, is how do we create, you know, financial equality and not have this tiered system, which would be very different, right? If you tried to finance a portfolio of auto loans in, let's say, South Africa, and then did a portfolio of auto loans in California, you know, there'd be very different ratings on that portfolio because there's perceived different property rights, different legislations, different country risks, which again, because all of the Bitcoin associated with the bonds is sitting in custody with Fidelity, you remove that property rights issue that exists with traditional assets. So extremely important and a massive unlock for the industry.
I think that's a really great point. And can you walk us through a little bit about what that 1 year process was like with S&P? Like, what types of questions did they ask? What type of assumptions did they stress test? Like, how deep did they analyze Ledin's operations and processes?
Yeah, this was actually said to me by one of my prior bosses, and a equity investor and a debt investor. If you take them to the edge of a cliff, the equity investor, let's say a venture investor, says, "Wow, what a beautiful view." And the debt investor looks down and says, "Oh my gosh, it's a long way down," right? And so they always take and are employed to take a negative view on everything, right? That's the job of someone who is a risk management professional. Their job is to ask the questions, what if these things go wrong? And frankly, what if all of these things go wrong at the same time? And so looking at massive stress events. So we were asked questions, and we were not just asked questions, we were again engaged to provide data on what happens if there's massive Bitcoin volatility? What happens if technology system goes down? What's the variability in the liquidation thresholds? How's everything play together? And running many of those different scenarios. And again, it's S&P's job to run them. Ledin's employed to give the data and defend data and also provide market insights where helpful. But this is what they do. And this is of course their entire business to run these risk management scenarios. So again, given that we were working on it for over a year, just demonstrates how much was invested and time and effort of demonstrating that both the Bitcoin portfolio of loans, as well as Ledin's job as loan sponsor and manager of the portfolio, those two working in unison is and continues to be robust.
From what I recall, and just thinking back to the exchanges, they took a very diligent approach to understanding our business and the risks. This came up in another interview that I did. One of the hosts that I was with had a meeting with a person at S&P that same day he was interviewing me. And the way S&P described it was that this transaction was a very big deal for S&P. In fact, I remember before we were able to announce the deal, because we were still working on the pitching, S&P themselves went on CNBC and talked about them having rated the first ever Bitcoin deal and how big of a deal it was for them. So I think it speaks volumes to the sort of Lenin's reputation, the fact that S&P chose Lenin to be the first company they analyzed in the industry and the first deal that they rated, and to have received that investment grade rating really, again, speaks volumes as a first-time issuer and a first-time Bitcoin product. Speaking of stress tests, as you were pitching this first ever Bitcoin ABS deal to investors that had never invested in this asset class, the price of Bitcoin happened to be dropping pretty dramatically during that time from the 80s into the 60s. However, the deal closed basically within the time frame it needed. I think it closed before the timeline we had anticipated. It was more than two times oversubscribed. And it was the first time a lot of these investors had been seeing a deal like this in a market like this. Can you speak to or walk us through what that process was like? What was that pitching like to these institutions?
Yeah, first and foremost, Jefferies was the lead underwriter and structuring agent for the deal. And they communicated to us that this was one of the most, if not the most well-received interest that they had ever received in an ABS marketing. So we booked over 50 investor meetings and had enormous interest in groups that wanted to learn about it. Admittedly, some of them are already at PhD level as far as understanding how Bitcoin products works. And some of them are still at intermediate level at getting up to speed with the asset classes. So we fielded a whole bunch of a range of questions. The proof is in the pudding in the final result that we were two times oversubscribed on the senior tranche and three times oversubscribed on the junior mezz tranche. And we even had some interest to buy the small portion of equity that led in injected into the deal as well, just given the overall interest in the product. So that was really exciting. I enjoyed it a lot getting to speak to new investors and tell them about the history of Latin. And I think we obviously received great feedback in the final result and are very proud of that.
That must have been a fascinating experience. And I think one of the things that we're all very proud of here at Latin was that our systems were stress tested live as the deal was being pushed or sold. And we were able to basically show and demonstrate that everything was working exactly as designed. It's almost like we couldn't have asked for better marketing, right? Like their questions all kind of came to reality in the moment and we were able to answer it with facts. And I think that probably landed very well for them, having had the opportunity to see their sort of stress test play out and the system work as it should.
Yeah. And importantly, and we often let our clients know about this as well, is right, the system has to operate automatically and without discretion, right? The as soon as you're making judgment calls or running manual processes, you leave room for error and frankly, adding risk and shifting benefits from one a portion of the client base to another, right? And so that's always the way we've been operating is if you liquidate 80%, you have to liquidate 80%. Because if you don't, and then the price continues to fall, you're adding more risk to the book and vice versa. You're stopping that client out at a different price than they agreed to contractually, right? So being able to demonstrate that was very important. And to your point, this happened live during the marketing process. So not only did we just talk about it in theory, we were dealing with a practical scenario. So obviously we never hope for the Bitcoin price to fall. We want all of our clients to do well and benefit from appreciating Bitcoin price and therefore appreciating asset value. But this did stress test the processes that were put in place overall for Latin and specifically communicated for the ABS product. So we didn't have to talk about it. We were able to show it.
Show me is better than tell me. That's why I'm so excited about the future. We'll get into sort of future implications for this. Can you share, just staying on the topic of the pitching, can you share a little bit about what were the types of institutions you were meeting with? Can you share, if anything you can share about like the meetings? I know you mentioned the meeting numbers, but any details around who participated, how many, and what type of groups are they?
Yeah, we took 50 meetings, as I mentioned, a lot of them in person. We were running around New York and taking meetings and going hour to hour to different investors. It was a lot of fun to have that experience. And we had 15 institutions actually participate in the final bond offering. So those allowed us to be oversubscribed at the metrics we mentioned. We had a large reinsurance company take a big position in the senior tranche, which was really exciting. So insurance companies like this product because, again, they can plan their asset to liabilities and get some long dated product, which is a 3-year fixed product, which the ABS allows for. And then on top of that, we had a lot of traditional credit funds. So obviously behind that would be pension fund money and other types of capital that would be looking to have this type of exposure. And then we also had hedge funds participate, especially in the mezz tranche that has a higher yield. The pricing was public. I can communicate that. So the pricing for the senior tranche was 335 basis points over the 3-year treasury. And for the mezzanine tranche was 9.9 percentage points for a blended rate of 7.2%.
See, and this is what I love so much about operating with this funding model is that now our clients can see exactly what that side of the business looks like. And I don't think any other company out there allows for that level of transparency. And again, I just think I look at it always, I have a lens of a Bitcoiner through, right? And a borrower and a client. And to me, I think so much risk lies in the unknown, right? Like you see the rate, you see the app, but what you need to understand as a borrower is, what are they doing with my Bitcoin once I send it over to that company? How are they getting the dollars they're lending to me? What are they cost? Because for all you know, people could be paying 10% for the money and lending it to you at 8%. And that means that loan's not going to be around for very long because you're eating away equity. So I think this is a way of really sort of having an x-ray almost on Ledin's sort of internal operations and being able to feel good about it. Right?
That's right. And full transparency, there was other costs associated with getting it done, right? The bankers need to be paid a fee for structuring it, originating it. The lawyers are paid significant amounts. So, you know, if you blend in all those costs, the costs are higher than the 7.2% headline blended coupon. And then Ledin also had to inject 6% of its own equity, which has a cost of capital associated with that as well. But importantly, over time, those costs will come down, right? We're a first-time issuer. First-time issuers have a first-time issuance premium. And then just, you know, how this product works. So we're going to watch it trade, right? This product can be traded from institution to institution. And if the yields compress, that will be a signal that the next time we go to market, we'll be able to get a better deal and therefore pass better economics onto our clients as well. So that's really exciting. But yeah, we're all about transparency. And this will also be probably something that other lenders in the space try to replicate, right? So this isn't just good for Ledin. This is a good piece of paper and process for the entire industry. And we're happy to play a role in how the whole industry advances how it's financed.
I completely agree. I think this should act as a blueprint to follow. And now we said the same about proof of reserves. Not that many people are following it yet, but we're going to keep doing our best to laying out blueprints for transparent and resilient operations and really hope others follow. You were meeting with some very, very large institutions, reinsurance companies, pension funds, et cetera, that had really, this is probably the first time they were ever pitched a Bitcoin deal. Have you gotten any sort of broader feedback from the investment community, from other lending counterparties that we've had about the deal? I can talk to you about the feedback we've gotten from our clients, but I would love to hear from you if this has sort of made waves in the sort of more institutional side of the world with our lending partners, our VC investors, et cetera.
It definitely did. And this really created a buzz. So I had the opportunity to attend Structured Finance Vegas about 2 weeks, or not even, it was actually not, I was about to say 2 weeks, it was 2 days. After we closed the bond, we were in Vegas. We closed on a Friday. We were on a panel on Sunday and Structured Finance Vegas is the largest ABS related conference in the world. So it has a whole bunch of attendees that, again, have been doing this in a traditional way for many years. And this product was buzzing. So it is the first of its class. It created a new asset class within the ABS market. And so it was really exciting to meet with investors that participated in the bond there, and then also investors that wanted to learn more about it so they could be part of the next issuance. So it is exciting, and it was great to get that reception. As I was joking there, that normally I'm the finance guy at the Bitcoin conferences, and this time I got to be the Bitcoin guy at the finance conference, which is a nice change of pace. And so, yeah, exciting to see it develop, and we'll see how things continue.
Well, the suits can expect a lot more of us at their conferences. We spent quite a bit of time talking about what this means for Ledin's funding and institutional relationships, et cetera. And I think we've kind of glossed over the impact on the other side of the house, which is the Bitcoin-backed loan clients. But I'd like, if you can spend a few minutes to talk about what does this all mean for LedIn clients? These are the clients that are taking loans and using their Bitcoin as collateral with us.
Sure. So I think it's, you mentioned the proof of reserves. So that's one set of validation by a third party firm. This is another stamp of approval as it relates to the LedIn group of companies, right? So having S&P go through all of the processes related to loan servicing and understanding that and looking at their history is a data point that LedIn clients can rely on and future LedIn clients can look at to say, okay, these are the types of institutions that have looked at LedIn's processes and made a call based on their review. So that's really important. We're always trying to invite others to look at LedIn and provide a stamp of approval on what they see. So very helpful there. The other thing is around transparency. So as we mentioned, we just talked about the structure of how the loan works. The nice thing about this is the loan portfolio now moves in unison with how it's financed. So as I spoke about previously, when we originated the loans, we have bilateral facilities sitting over here and different custody agreements for here. This time when actually structurally, when a borrower tops up, and they're topping up a loan that sits in the ABS, they're actually topping up the ABS directly. So no longer there's like an in-between. And maybe it's not directly relevant for clients because obviously LedIn is doing a good job of managing that, but it actually simplifies our operations a lot and removes another layer of another step of moving that Bitcoin collateral. So look to LedIn to move more and more of how our Bitcoin loans work into that structure. It simplifies our operations and indirectly it simplifies and reduces risk for the borrower as well. So that's an important process. The other thing is bringing in names like Fidelity as a new custodian for that. Fidelity is one of the first traditional finance companies to get in to the Bitcoin space. And they've been excited about the space for a long time. So we were happy to have them come on and participate as the custodian for the bond issuance as well. And over time, better rates. So you and I have been chatting a lot about the future of rates at LedIn. So we'll have some exciting announcements shortly on that. And again, that's our job, right? Our job is to reduce risk for our clients first and foremost. And indirectly, that relates to reducing risk for LedIn and planning out our capital needs. So not only reducing rates, but also having capital that's more permanent, right? We want to make sure that we have capital that's available to lend in all different market conditions. And so going back a couple of years, we've been managing this business for 8 years. There's been a lot of different market cycles and we've seen banks come in, banks leave, Silvergate Signature have issues, other large institutions come in and out, like Genesis Capital come in as large participants, have issues there. The ABS structure for the term you put in place is permanent for that term. So it allows you to have tenured capital that you can then plan and make sure you always have capital to lend. So we sometimes use an analogy like we're, for most part, a consumer lender. So, you know, you can use an analogy like a gas station, right? You can show up and you can distribute gas, but if there's no gas at the pump, there's no product, right? So that's how we think about lending is we always need to have the dollars aside to lend. And if we don't, there's no loan. So that's part of our long-term planning as we grow LedIn.
I love that explanation. And yes, so like we like saying this all the time. Loans have two clients. There's the people borrowing the money and the people lending you the money. And by reducing risk on the operation, you're actually reducing risk on both the borrower, the lender, and the operator. And this all comes into this sort of virtuous cycle because with less risk comes lower rates. And lower rates benefit the borrower and the lender, and you can originate more. And so it is really a virtuous cycle if you structure it correctly, where we're motivated to drop to lower risks and be more transparent because that lowers our cost of capital. It means we can originate more. So all of the incentives are aligned, right? Our incentives are aligned with the people giving us the money and are aligned with our borrowers. And so I think that's one of the funnest parts about this business is that who doesn't love more transparency and less risk, right? The guy giving you the money loves it. The guy borrowing the money loves it. The guy managing the money loves it. It's a win for everybody. You said the magic word, the magic R word, rates, which I know is in the minds of many of our clients. Can you talk a little bit about what we can expect from LedIn in the coming months?
Right. So for sure, better rates are coming. So that's on the short-term horizon. The other thing about like better rates is we think it's not just better for those that are already in the lending space, but we also think it opens up a much larger universe to make Bitcoin back loans useful, right? So some may be saying, hey, I've got this investment opportunity, but I don't want to sell my Bitcoin. But if the rate's too high, the investment opportunity might not be accretive, right? You're borrowing at a certain cost of capital. You have to be investing at a higher cost or higher return of capital to justify making that equation work. So we think by lowering rates maybe a little bit, as much as we can, then it opens up a much larger universe. And we're excited to grow the amount of clients that are taking Bitcoin back loans and see it as an attractive product. The other thing we're working on is geographical expansion. So we're excited about opening up in more US states. So that's announcements that will be coming from Ledin. Our regulatory team is working really, really diligently to make that happen. And we also know that businesses are more and more increasing their use of Bitcoin and using Bitcoin as a treasury asset. And traditionally, Ledin has been positioned primarily as a consumer-focused platform. So we're working on some important updates to make Ledin more attractive to businesses as well. So excited about that increase. And the product will be similar, but the platform will be more easy to use to onboard businesses, and that will be helpful. And we think that Ledin loans for businesses will be an exciting addition. And the final thing is mobile app. So we've historically had some challenges with the major tech companies in getting apps approved and things like that, as have many other Bitcoin related companies. But we just received approval on getting our app out in some markets, and we'll be rolling out to all major markets as soon as we can as well. So we want to make sure that similar functionality that exists on the Ledin platform, the Ledin website, that you can use on the mobile app. So you know, those changes are coming. And of course, we're always focusing on making our core loan product incrementally better. So we pay very, very close attention to client feedback. We want to make sure clients have all the tools in place to avoid loan liquidation, to manage their loan, to feel good, to be able to sleep at night when they take a Ledin loan. So we're focused on all features and effectively very focused on that one product, right? So that's the benefit of dealing with Ledin, is we are and want to continue to be experts in Bitcoin-backed lending. You won't see us be large, have a diversification of many, many different products that confuses things. We love simple, and simple allows us to focus and make a really, really great Bitcoin-backed loan experience. So expect that to continue with Ledin.
Oh man, I'm pumped. I'm very excited about the year it's already off to a great start. And I think people are going to really like what we have in store. Where can listeners stay up to date with Adam?
All right. So, well, of course, you follow HODL with Ledin on X if you're not already following. And my personal Twitter is Adam Reads on X.
We'll link everything in the show notes, as well as the S&P ratings reports and any other relevant bond link or article for people to read into. Adam, we're going to have to do this again. I kind of want to make this an ongoing thing. We should have one of these like once a quarter just to touch base and keep everybody updated with Ledin.
Sounds great. And thanks everyone for watching, and really appreciate you as a client if you already are, and hopefully you'll give us a chance if you're not yet.
Thanks so much for coming again, man. We'll do this again in a few months, and thank you all for listening.
Thanks a lot, Mauricio.
The implications of this transaction are massive, both for Ledin and for the industry. Bitcoin-backed loans have now demonstrated a path to institutional liquidity, on par with that of auto loans, credit cards, and mortgages. Ledin has tapped into a multi-trillion dollar credit market, and it is about to start routing that liquidity back to Bitcoiners that don't want to sell. This is being done in the most transparent, resilient, and scalable way possible. This is a clear sign of Bitcoin maturing. The fact that the deal was more than 2 times oversubscribed in a down market demonstrates that Wall Street is starting to understand and is hungry to participate. The pieces continue to fall into place, and the future of Bitcoin-backed loans and Ledin looks brighter than it ever has. Don't forget to follow Adam or Ledin on X. Keep your notifications on. As you've heard, we have a lot of exciting announcements coming up this year. Thank you again for listening, and we'll be back again soon with another great guest. If you enjoyed this Because of Bitcoin episode, I would be very grateful for the 5 seconds it would take you to drop us a review and give us a rating on your favorite podcasting platform. This will really help us reach even more listeners. And if you'd like to learn more about Bitcoin, be sure to check out our newsletter by subscribing at ledn.io. That's ledn.io. Again, this was Mauricio Di Bartolomeo. Stay tuned for our next episode. And until then, muchas gracias y los quiero mucho. Chao, chao.